more or nothing.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of More or Nothing with Ryan and potentially with Max.
Potentially with Max. Unbelievable. It's happened again. Like, honestly, what? Okay, let's just quickly start, right, from the how this sort of unfolded. Because remember last week, after we finished the podcast recording, we sat down and we said, listen, guys, why don't we do it next week at 9 o'clock UK time? It'll be 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon when I'm in Hong Kong. It'll all work perfectly. That was the plan, wasn't it, Mark? Everyone agrees. This morning, I have the worst hangover on earth, and we'll get onto that. So I'm grinding it out. I'm trying to get to 3 o'clock to do the podcast. And Max just comes in and says, oh, sorry, boys, can't make 9 o'clock. And we haven't heard from him since. He's not even applied. He's not come in with anything. No excuses, nothing. I think the basis worked out that he's just going to turn up if he turns up. And if he doesn't, he doesn't.
I think our dearest Maxitron will turn up, mate. I think he will. Just at the time where we're losing the energy that you are still somehow hoarding at, what, midnight? Quarter to midnight in Hong Kong. So, yeah, mate, it's, what, quarter to 12 in Hong Kong? He is going to come in just when we need him to, just when the energy levels. You know, I've been skiing all day. I'm all right. Glass of rosin and a beer.
Yeah, the double parts. I'm strictly on water. There's not going to be much energy for me, I'll be honest. I've managed to find my way to the end of the day. I just wanted today to be over with. I just didn't want to be. Oh, Hong Kong got me last night, Mark. Hong Kong got me
Mate,
last night.
I need. Okay, so we need to go through this in a certain, I guess, chronological way, because I have, you know, I've lived part of your experience, both on video calls that you probably won't remember. You will remember today's one because, you know, you were pretty down. You were pretty down. And I had a similar sort of video call with my brother, who was also pretty down today. And what was great is I had those exact same video calls the previous night where you guys were pretty up. You were pretty up. So, you know, do you want to start with today's down or do you want to? No, take us through. Okay. Take us through the whole, because it's been a mad week for you. You have been. Talk us through from actually an amazing match, not as much for you, but you know, there was a lot of emotions running through on Friday night when you were at the Stoop for Harlequins versus Glasgow. That's where our adventure begins.
Right, okay. Well, let's start from there then, shall we? God, that feels like about 3 weeks ago, but it wasn't. It was a few days ago. Yeah, down to London on Friday for the Quins versus Glasgow match. Oh, guy, it was a tough one because I was giving it big licks before. I was with Hugo Monnier, who obviously Quins through and through. I'm Glasgow through and through. So we're giving it to each other back and forth before. He's giving it the old, oh, it's nice you boys just to sort of turn up. You know, the boys are down in London for a little night out, are they? There's no chance of winning. So I'm giving it back hard. Even on the TV, I'm saying, you know, we're going to do the job. I've had at least smack talking. We'll see who's laughing after. But yeah, the boys haven't managed to get it done. And we'll get onto the rugby side of things in a bit, won't we? But I've then done that game, gone to Heathrow Airport. I've slept in a hotel in Heathrow, not on the floor. When I said this to a few people, they're like, what, so you slept in the terminal like Tom Hanks? I was like, no, I actually slept in the room. But I didn't get to bed. I had a few beers with the boys after, so I wasn't in bed till about 2:30. And then I was up at 6, flight cancelled to Amsterdam. So I was like, hold on a minute. I was meant to be flying Amsterdam, Hong Kong, flight cancelled. So complete panic, turn up at the airport. I'm like, what am I going to do? Have to rebook flights direct from Heathrow. So I get over to Terminal 3. I've got to do this, a massive thanks to Cathay Pacific, because they have hooked me up like you wouldn't believe. I had my flights, but they upgraded me in return for a little bit of content.
Great content, mate. Loved it.
Well, do you know the content I might do on the way back? I might just see how many drinks I can drink on the way back and just try and do the whole cocktail list and film myself slowly getting more and more pissed. But anyway, incredible business class flight with Cathay. So I did get a good night's sleep, finally. Well, it was the afternoon, but I managed to sleep pretty much 6 hours straight to Hong Kong, where I land. I arrive at 8:30 in the morning for the Hong Kong, the final day, the Sunday, the sevens, the final day, and I'm straight into it. Like, there's nothing about it. I am literally straight in, get a shower at Barks's room, me and him head straight down, grab a bit of food, and we're straight into it. And, oh, like, the people that I've seen, the people I've been, it's crazy. Absolutely. Like, David James was there, because it was sponsored by Carlsberg. So,
hey,
David
Jamo,
James.
I know Jamo. I worked with him for years. We did Champions League football in, like, India for, like, 4 years together.
Yeah, what a lovely bloke, eh? So, yeah.
Lovely guy.
And then it just all, sort of went downhill from there. I was filming content, social media content. I'm out here working. And that's what I did tell you. I am working for the Hong Kong Tourism Board this week. Doing some content.
Who we love as well. We do love the gang at the Hong Kong Tourism Board.
Hey, go and check them out at Discover Hong Kong. I love it, Mark. I absolutely love Hong Kong. It's been pretty cool today, just having a little look around. But I've not got to see much yet. And then, obviously, I met your brother halfway through the day yesterday. We met up, had a few beers. And, things got a little bit blurry. But we were in the director's box. We were basically with the bloke that I think is like the main man at HSBC. Or Cafe, yeah. I can't remember.
He runs Cafe, but for Swire, he's incredibly high up at Swire, I think, who own Cafe Pacific. Whoever, mate, it's a grande queso, big cheese, whichever way round it was. But hilariously, as well, Gareth had no idea. Like, you're both in there, and Gareth's stories have been quite funny about it. It was just so funny, because the two of you are effectively just like, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio in Catch Me If You Can, just blagging so hard but doing a great job at the same time, and I think it was very, very enjoyable. But they're big fish out in Hong Kong.
Well, we were in there, so yeah, in there was Shawzy, Simon Shaw, Dwayne Vermeulen was with him, like everyone and anyone out here. Brian O'Driscoll was out here, caught up, saw Matt Gitto, those boys were over, Jamie Roberts was here, James Haskell and all those lot, Tyndall. I just wish you boys could have been here with me. It would have been a lot nicer than being on my own. But there's a hilarious photo that Barks put up, and some people that follow me have seen this one. But I've been given a media vest, right? So my pass is media. I can get down into the tunnel. I actually wasn't meant to be in the tunnel, but I went down into the tunnel. I walked out behind the Aussies and the Kiwis as they were going out to play their semi-final match with my little camera. Walking behind them, and then I got grabbed, and they were like, get him out of there, what's that bloke doing in there? I'm just walking up the tunnel. But this picture sums it all up, that one from Barts, where he's got a picture of some bloke with a giant camera next to him, real photographer, and then me, not a real photographer.
Looks like you've just got your little iPhone 6 just taking a photo. No.
But I'm telling you now, the Fijian following is gone through the roof. I am not Ryan Wilson, the ex-rugby player, and I am Willie Sonny. Even one of the Kiwi boys, even one of the All Black Sevens players turned around, and I was like doing a bit of filming. I was like, oh, fuck, that's it, bro. You're the bloke from TikTok.
You're that Fijian guy from TikTok.
Willie Sonny. Oh, so nah, it was a good day. It was a good day, I think. And I think it was a good night, but I can't really remember much. It was all a bit blurry, but I am dusty as hell today. Your brother, I had him in the media vest at the end, and he was on the pitch pretending to be media.
He was just saying it was like the most, because he was lashed as well. So he was like, so funny. No, not you. Sorry, we're media. Like, giving it all the big ones, going through, like, okay, talking to all these players and everything.
He is literally your, like, a copy of you as well. It's so funny. It's like just sitting talking to you. So, we're out on the junk boat tomorrow. So, looking forward to that. So, keep an eye on the content. And, like I said, Hong Kong Tourism Board, thank you very much. And then Cafe Pacific. I hope they upgrade me on the way home.
It looks sweet. Am I? We're at Club Med in Alpe d'Huez. It's very nice. I feel like I've made it. I thank my wife, my lucky stars again. You say, like, my brother's like basically me, but not one of our best friends was literally like, yeah, he's you if you worked hard in your 30s. I was like, great, cheers.
Don't be silly, Mark. really.
Nah.
What else do I know about Hong Kong?
Yeah, talk us through it, because it looked like it was tournament itself. I mean, mate, as an experience, right? Did you get into the South Stand? Did you see the sheer volume of fancy dress in one single place?
It is carnage, isn't it? Like, it's everything I expected it to be. And obviously, that's the last year it's going to be played at the iconic stadium, the old stadium, because they're moving it out of the city. But you can, from where I am in the Park Lane Hotel, just sort of walk up the road. It's a 5-minute walk. You walk in and it is just a party atmosphere right from the beginning. The music pumping, there's families, but then you get into the South Stand. And yes, I watched the final in the South Stand. So by that time, it was heaving. Everyone in their fancy dress and watched the final up in there. And it was so good. It was so good. But all accounts, though, the Saturday, because obviously everyone works on a Monday, so Sunday they don't go as hard. But from what I'm hearing, like, it was a 5-hour queue or something, 5-hour waiting to get into the South Stand. They do one in, one out, one in, one out. Piss where you stand. So yeah. People are pissing in cups, throwing the cups down the thing. Like, just mental. But they do it right. Like, if there was anything, and we'll probably, I think we're tagging on the end of this, the interview I did with Charlotte Kastlik this morning. Oh, such a bad hangover. I barely remember doing it because I think I was still drunk. But I did the interview with Charlotte and I interviewed GB7's captain, Robbie Ferguson, as well. And, like, talking to them.
Charlotte's the Australian, just for people who don't know, is the Australian captain for the women's.
And so we were saying, like, 15s, you know, if there's anything they could learn from sevens, it is, like, trying to make every weekend a weekend like that. And, like, there is ways to do it. Like, down at the Stoop, honestly, Friday night, I had another one of those moments, Mark. I was stood right there as the boys coming out, Champions Cup, theme music, boys coming out together. You know, things like that. Like, I think they should just bring the teams out. Even small little things like that. Let the teams come out together every time. It just, I don't know. Just, then you get both sets of fans going mental. So it's like a bigger thing. You know, little things like that. And just everything about this weekend, you've just got to look at it and go, that is awesome. But yeah, at the Stoop, when the boys ran out, I was like, just stood there watching, being like, oh, fuck, I missed that. I wish I was out there doing that, because it was an incredible atmosphere down at the Stoop. It was pretty cool. So, yeah, I've had a busy old weekend, haven't I? A busy old week.
Yeah, but, mate, you say the Sunday, because I've done it many, many times, the Sevens. It's my favourite thing. It genuinely is. In fact, it was supposed to be my 40th, like, celebrations, but COVID hit through. But the Sunday, yeah, maybe people don't go as hard, but that is the day... And I have been at the proper receiving end of this. That is the day every non-rugby player becomes just a grey man in the stands, because in the South Stand, all the players come into the South Stand.
When's
so if you've brought, I'd like just broken up with like my ex-girlfriend, this is like 15, 20 years ago, just broken up with my ex-girlfriend. I was like booing. I loved her so much, all this stuff. And literally, I was there with her and her friends, still like trying so hard, being pathetic, and just got rugby players just coming in. I'll have that one, you're just like, oh, this is low, this is boring, this is bad.
Mate, so, how cool is that? Like, and again, like you said, after every game they go and they go the whole way around the stadium, signing autographs, taking photos, all the players. They, like you said, they go and see their mates, they go into the South Stand. Like that. It's so good. Like, the connection between the fans and the players. And like I said, there's something for everyone there. So it's so good.
I've got a real question for you, Wills, though. I need to know the truthful to this. There will be a moment where the entire stadium started singing Stand Up If You Hate the French. Did you stand up? Do you not remember it?
No, I don't remember that bit. I don't remember that. Like, I interviewed a few people. I interviewed Barks at one point. Oh, that's it. The final was New Zealand France. So they sung, because they sung the anthems. And obviously New Zealand won. But no, I didn't. They never did that. But like, it's funny because I did a quick thing with Barks. I was like, you know, most memorable thing. We're doing some quick fire stuff. And I was like, most memorable thing, you know, rugby moment this weekend is like, mate, I haven't watched any rugby. I've literally just been on the piss. It's like they say that when you get bored, then you turn around and watch the rugby after partying. So,
who was the halftime entertainment? Who was the big? Was there a big show? Oh no, because that would have been on the Saturday. Actually, you don't remember,
mate. Those, you know, the twins, the Weasley brothers,
Ron Weasley. Yeah,
You know Ron Weasley? You know the older brothers? Mate, they were here. They were, one of them's dressed as a dinosaur, and they're like, they were on the pitch doing stuff on the pitch. What the fuck are they doing?
Okay, what was the best costume you saw?
Oh. I had to be, well, for me, it was the Fijian. There was a Fijian fella there with his proper welly boots on. He was in his gum boots, kicking about like he was back on the farm. Oh, mate, there were so many. Wonder Woman, she was up there.
Oh, yeah.
The ones where everyone dresses the same, eh? Like there's like a massive group of flamingos. And there's a place here, right, that you go and get all your fancy dress.
Yeah, down at Stanley Market, if you want. And they,
I'll tell you, the Aussie boys, Matt Gitter and that, they did a pretty good job of dressing up. I saw some photos of them on the Saturday, so they'd be
up sexy
there,
ladies, weren't they? What were they?
Lely sexy ladies.
Yeah.
But nah, no fancy dress for me, just strictly business. I was media, mate. That was my fancy dress.
That is the worst, was when so we had a call from my brother being like, have you heard from Ryan? We're like trying to like, he was so pissed. And we're trying to meet up. And then you then video called. And obviously we're being driven to Heathrow to fly off to go skiing. So in the car is my father-in-law, the kids, Lou, myself. And it's just so funny because you're just, you are, I'm like, mate, have you had a good time in Hong Kong? You're like, mate, it's work. And you're so hammered. I'm like, is it work? I mean, is it really work? Right, let's actually turn our attention to the rugby. Max will be joining us. I believe it. I'm going to manifest it. He can't not. He said.
But let's start with Glasgow then, because that was the first one. What a weekend of Champions Cup rugby. But the best thing about it, and I hope Max does come here, I'm pretty sure we got one out of all the
awful
games. Right?
Awful. Quite awful. You should be used by Paddy Power if they're wondering which way to go. And then you would just go,
oh,
okay, so they've said that, we'll go the opposite. And then you guys would be clairvoyant.
So good. So good how bad it was. Right, so let's start with Friday then. Obviously, Harlequins, Glasgow. It's hard because I wasn't doing commentary. I was working for TNT, who we'll talk about in a minute, have just taken over the autumn tests. But I was working for TNT, so I was only doing the comms. So you don't actually, you're not as engaged in the game as you are when you're commentating. So I quite like it when I do the punditry stuff, then jump up into the box and do the commentary because you're really focused in on the game.
You were just pitch side, right? That's all you were doing?
Just pitch side. So before halftime and after the game. So doing like interviews and stuff. And quite interestingly, interviewed Danny Wilson after the game, who was trying to pretend that he didn't have extra motive after being obviously pushed out of Glasgow Warriors a couple of years ago before Franco Smith came in. And I'm like, Danny, mate, come on. He came in after the interview afterwards. He's like, no, it's great. And I was like, listen, come on. It must have felt a little bit, you know, it must have felt pretty good. It was like, yeah, I'm not going to lie, I felt good. But
wait, what's he at Quins now?
He's now the head coach of Quins.
I thought Tab, has he left?
It's interesting. I'm not too sure what's going on there, but no.
Because that's quite new, isn't it? It's a bit weird.
Yeah, well, I don't think it was ever announced either. That's the other interesting thing. And so I got this run sheet and it said Danny Wilson, head coach. And I sort of pretended I knew that had happened. But then someone afterwards said, when did he become head coach? And I was like, yeah, exactly what I thought. So it's all gone quite quiet over there. But the referee, by all accounts, the first half was absolutely shocking. We're not going to blame the referees again, but shocking. And Glasgow gave away a lot of penalties. I think the penalty count was something stupid, like 12 to nothing in the first half. In the first 30 minutes, let alone the first half, you don't want to give more than 10 away in a whole game. So they put themselves under pressure and just left it a bit late. But they did come back. They did nearly come back. And I thought, this is it. They're going to win. They're going to pull it out. And they went in front. Oh, God. I was so excited. I was buzzing. And then Marcus Smith on the day, he was different gravy. He controlled the game really well. And Quins, first time of winning a knockout game. But it's not a quarterfinal. This is the other thing. It's a round of 16, and everyone's like, "Oh, it's the first time they've ever qualified in
won a knockout round." Right?
It used to be quarterfinals, so it's not really the same. But then again, when you're on TV, you can't then bag it, can you? And be like, "Well, it's not a quarterfinal." So
you should have bagged it pre, but you can't bag it post when everyone knows you're cut you and he bleeds Glasgow. You're like, "Eh, we didn't want it anyway." It just makes you look a bit shitty. Also, harsh, mate. Hugo Monier got you really bad with the old celebrations at the end, and then it just pans round to you, and you just, I'm like, oh, he's having a shit time.
Yeah, nah, it was brutal. It was brutal. But that, listen, I don't think they did ask me after the game and said which game are you looking forward to most this weekend across the whole weekend, and I then said, oh, I'm looking forward to the Bordeaux game. I hope Bordeaux win as well, because there's no chance Quins will go down there and win. And they were like, bitter much. So that Bordeaux did do that. Fucking
destroyed. To be fair, Bordeaux,
there's no way that Quins will be going down there and doing the job on them. They're just so inconsistent. Like the fact that they went so far ahead against Glasgow and then just let them back into the game. We've seen that over the last few weeks, what they did with Bath, where they ran away with it and then Bath nearly came back in and won. Obviously got hammering done by Sarries. So you think if Bordeaux have just done that to Saracens, who put 50 points on Quins, I mean, my predictions are pretty shit, but I'm predicting that Bordeaux do the job at home in the quarterfinals there.
Fair play. Just to finish off with that Quins Glasgow, did you feel that it was a fair result?
Nah, not really. I think Glasgow in the second half controlled the game completely. They just let themselves down. And all the stuff I was sort of getting were, I was getting a lot of messages afterwards saying, why did you not call the ref out? And I'm like, fuck it, I call the ref out on air, but I can't do it live on TV. And I don't know, I think they were hard done by maybe in the first half by the ref. And things didn't really go their way, but they deserved it in the second half and they put themselves in front. But like I said, it was Mark Smith. He played well, to be fair to him. He played well. He has the ball on the string, kicking game, outstanding. So, interesting. It was funny afterwards interviewing me and Hugo, interviewing people on the pitch who sort of do the roaming stuff. And Danny Kerr comes over and he's like, oh, it's like having 25 of this bloke on the pitch about me. He was like, hey, just giving it constantly. But it was, Hugo asked him before the game, he's like, oh, listen, can we get a little exclusive? Like, are you staying at Quins? And he was like, oh, yeah, I can, yeah, okay, well, I'll confirm. Told him there and then that he'd confirmed that he was staying on at Quins. So there you have it, Danny Kerr sticking around.
I didn't hear that. So he is, he's staying.
Yeah, sticking around at Quins. So
that's amazing. I hope he gets loads of money for that, because I'm always like, go and get a couple of final years in France, Anyway, fair play. Yeah, just for those who didn't see, there was an interesting stat that Glasgow beat 23 defenders to Quins 8.
They have it. Yeah, no, they did. They played well. They played well in patches. But again, like we said with Scotland, they left it too late and they sort of made their own bid with the amount of penalties they gave away in the first half. So, yeah, fair play to Quins. They go through to the quarters, but you can't see them going any further than that.
Let's go to what I felt was the big one. We had talked it up a bit because probably because of the result, but also because of the teams involved. Stormers versus La Rochelle. The only away win all weekend. It felt like, that is, La Rochelle just don't give up, do they? And that is you've played at the Storm against the Stormers. You've played over there. It is a incredibly tough place to go and get a result, right?
Oh, what a game as well. Like, Stormers running away with this at 17, I think it was 17-0 or something at one point. And you're like, this is it. They're definitely doing the job here. Like Manny Libok, obviously, we'll get onto the last bit. I'll try and keep it in order. But Damian Willemsa, I reckon he's one of my favourite players out there at the moment. Like, he just tries stuff and it comes off, but it's not stupid stuff. Like, the little out the door.
Because he's your new best friend, mate.
Yeah,
just because I'm really good mates with him.
Mate, he is class, though. He is absolute class. Jolant as well was incredible. But like you said, La Rochelle just finding a way to get back into it. And in the European Cup, they've got the pedigree, haven't they? And they found a way to get back in. And you just thought, You just, oh, hold on. I'm getting a phone call from Max Leheath.
Put him on speaker now.
Big boy.
Hey, bro, sorry. I've just got out of training. Just driving home.
What happened?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. What happened? It was an hour and 10 minutes ago.
I thought we were saying it was tomorrow.
Fuck off, are you joking?
Oh, for fuck's sake, genuine?
Mate, we...
I'm having a fucking mess. I'm like 20 minutes away.
20 minutes away.
Lads, how good. I made it.
Nah.
I thought it was tomorrow. Lads, I genuinely... Why did I think it was tomorrow? Was that ever discussed in the group? Did I just make that up? So I've just jumped to that leap of logic.
Do you ever turn up at rugby a day after you're meant to be there and be like, oh shit, sorry Pat, I thought it was tomorrow?
I've probably done that once or twice. I kid you not.
You've missed it, Max. I'm not telling you anything that's happened. Listen, I am in a hole right now. I am in a serious hole. It's 12:30. I barely slept.
Oh, that's not that bad. You've had all nighters your whole career.
Mate, I've been up interviewing people today. I interviewed Charlotte Kashlick, did some stuff with the GB guys. That's why I said I bumped into Tom Homer's younger brother who plays for GB.
Lovely. Great man.
He's a lovely bloke, eh? So they were very dusty as well. So it actually made me feel better when I got to the GB Sevens team hotel, because they were all written off as well. Boys, I went to their hotel, the Kerry. Heard of that, Mark?
Yeah, it's very good.
Very good posh. Hotel. And I just pretended I was one of the Sevens players. So just went up and it was like the buffet was next level. And so I went up and just pretended I was playing Sevens and just sat in there with all the Kiwis, all the Fijians were in there. It was fucking pretty cool. So, yeah. Anyway, Max, thank you for joining us. Just at the moment that we need you for the rugby chat, but you all good, mate?
Oh man, I'm great. I'm glorious. Busy week off. No, not really. Just chilled.
Hold on, weekend. It's your week off.
Last week was week off. This week we're back.
Fucking hell, I was gonna say then.
That's what I mean. We've got back. You know how it is. It's that time of year. It's all like, oh, it's all busy. You know how it is. Looking for another job. Year on year, Connie's. It's all stressful.
How's it looking?
Where are we at? Come on. Can you give anything away or not? Or you'd rather not?
I don't know if I should, but we should be okay. We'll be employed. Don't worry, lads.
We'll be employed.
I'll still be a pro rugby player this time next year.
And what's happening is, are there some... I mean, there were a few things. There seems to be a few.
There's people. A few, but it'd be nice to get some, yeah, some more offers, but we'll see. It's a strange market right now, boys. Rugby's on its knees, and obviously I can't go to France because my neck, unless I get elective spinal surgery, sadly. So
I thought you said you were going in for, when we were chatting about it before, not actually on the pod, but that you could get the exemption if you get if you see another specialist again.
Yeah, but I think it's based on the type of surgery.
Anyway,
okay.
Anyway, Well, Max. It's thank you for joining us. It's a really privilege to have you here because we're just about to talk code. And
Max, just so you know, Ryan has had a whirlwind time for flights cancelled, then upgraded onto business, then straight out in Hong Kong. Then it turns out that it works in every single geography, the Ryan Wilson approach to life. He is...
Yeah, mate, he's a cat. He's a cat. He'll always land on his feet, and he's having the best time of his life. Don't make it out like this is some kind of labour. You're living the dream. This is literally your dream right now.
Tell the missus that. She's raging.
Oh, no. Of course she's raging. That's understandable.
But, mate, he was on elite... My brother said it was... He called it elite networking. And I went like blagging, and he was like, well, yeah, but it was like elite. Like they ended up in like some math, like big dogs box, you know, all this stuff, chatting, all this stuff to, I mean, it's just nonstop. And I think he's seen every single rugby player that was at the Sevens has been Willie Sonied.
Put it this way, boys, without a shadow of a doubt, we will be working at the Hong Kong Sevens next year. I've put in the labour. I've put in the graft for us as a team. I have come here and done what I needed to do for us as more or nothing. And we will be here next year in the new stadium, fancy dressed, Mark in a skirt, sexy little Asian thing. No, it will be.
Will
it
work. Will be. It will
no,
work.
It will be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And maybe a little dog lead and a collar. But
that's
I am. I'm telling you now, we're coming out here. It's going to be. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. So Max, wherever you work is your next contract. Can you just make sure you get this week off, please?
What? A break clause? A sevens break clause in his contract? Otherwise, I'm not signing.
Imagine. Oh.
I caught up with Hoops today as well. Saw Hoops. He was telling me how tough he's finding it, and it's just a different game. So I saw him as well. Boys, it's been fucking wonderful. It has. It really has.
Is he fine? Wait, what did he say? Is it like just it's just more the fitness levels rather than the because he's got the requisite skill level, but
he said it's another level, and not just on that. And you'll hear later on in the Charlotte Kastlik interview that. He's picking her brains because she's obviously been in around the game for ages and she knows it inside out. But it's not just that. It's like the travel thing. You're flying, jet lag, all that sort of stuff. Week in, week out. And in 20 days, they play again in Singapore. So a lot of them are flying back home, train again, then fly out. And you've got to deal with the jet lag and all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, there's plenty to go with it. But I think he's enjoying it.
Isn't that interesting though that DuPont found it? He sort of straight away dominated in his sort of first tournament.
Yeah,
that is just really.
That's just That's just again exemplifies.
I wonder what his experience of it was like. I wonder if he found it difficult. But yeah.
Oh well, I'll tell you what. This humidity yesterday. There was one thing. I mean, I was keeping well hydrated. You do not have to worry about that. I was making sure I was at the top of my hydration. And there's no way I could play rugby in that or play sevens. Fucking tough old shift. But where were we? We've talked about the Glasgow game, Max. We've talked about the fact.
Oh, mate, I felt so bad for you. You must have been absolutely fuming with that ref. Were you fuming?
Thank you, the referee. Talk to me. To me about the ref.
First off,
a bit all over the place, wasn't he?
Yeah, Glasgow were getting pinged off the park. But it was that try, that Quinn's try. That was a bit funky, wasn't it? That smelt odd.
Yeah, but again, we don't get enough close-ups and stuff like that. But yeah, that was something that people were kicking off about. And, you know, that was a bit dubious.
It's interesting. But yeah, I thought Glasgow wanted it more. Genuinely watching the game, I thought Glasgow were going to win it, but at the end there they came unstuck, and Quinn's had that more that Riley sort of capitalised upon and got them out of it.
Yeah, it was a tough day. So we've chatted about that. We've chatted about how the fact that I think I got 95% of the results wrong. We've had our Midas touch the opposite.
No. Wait, we did all right, didn't we? We got Larry Bell. We got. No,
He said, "Hey, Will said Stormers."
Did you say Stormers?
I'm pretty sure I said Sarries.
Okay, yeah.
I said Glasgow.
Yeah, I think no. I remember I said Sarries. You said Bordeaux, and then at the end I was like, "Yeah, I want to change that," and you're like, "Nah, you can't change it."
Okay,
but yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Right, what game are we moving on to next then, Mark? Because we've chatted.
Well, one that both of you absolutely did not remotely call, and I know there's a really really big. In here, but Exeter beating Bath.
Yes, but yes, the finless Bath. Ooh, interesting.
Is that the variable? Is that unfair on Exeter? Is that also unfair in a way on Bath? You know,
it was a very tight game. I thought it was really good, really good game. But I felt like Bath were going to get on top of them. Especially up front, like the scrum was going well, like Benno was up on Aaron Painter. Ted Hill with that freakish display of athleticism. Did you see that?
What?
Takes the box kick and just runs the length. He's got Faye Uboso and Hodge chasing him and they're not even gaining a
It's
centimeter.
Unbelievable. Faye Uboso's got concrete boots on. You're like, how is this happening? Because Ted Hill's going somewhere. Nah. I'm not saying he's
bloody hell. Ted Hill's that guy. He is that guy, though. He's a size experiment. Like, it's just because he's been injured all season, so we haven't got to see as many physical talents. But he's.
What? Whilst we're on Faye Uboso, can we just. How? Cause he doesn't look big. I don't know, Max. You've come up against him.
Nah, he is big. He's got a bro, set of pins on him. He is,
bro, he's thick.
But how does the Tomine contact every single time? You're like,
yeah, but you look at how he runs, right? The minute he drops into contact, his knee's about a nanometer from the floor. Like the way he can like run at that level, he runs so close to the ground, and he just doesn't drop any speed. And pairing that with his like ability to create force, he's just a real nightmare. It is interesting watching him beat defenders because he doesn't really use much evasion. He just sort of backs his horsepower and does a job with his freakish biomechanics, mate.
I did not see that coming, though. I did not.
Yeah, no, same. I'm with you. I was like, yeah, but I forgot this. But fair play to Exeter. Gritty stuff from the men in black.
I know there was a message asking me to try and get the update on Finn. I haven't because I've been preoccupied. But if he's out for a wee while, that is a big old loss. That does put a dent. And it sounds pretty fickle, eh? Us going, they're nothing without Finn. Like, they've obviously got some superstars in there, but. Are they the same? We'll see. I just think they're going to struggle.
Guys, don't forget, we had a very nice viral clip from our Christmas dinner with Finn, Cam Redpath and Ollie Lawrence, where it was like, what's the difference this season? Finn's like, but then no one argued it. And you look at it and you're like, well, I don't know. I mean, let's hope not. We do want Bath to continue to make
it healthy as well. Because he also had a sort of injury scare there. So, but yeah, I thought there was guys playing well though, like Tommy DeToy continuing his prolific sky try scoring form. He played very well. Obviously Ted Hill, man, they got plenty of talent. They just need to find a way. They just probably become more forward orientated and just put it on the backs of them.
Right. Well, to be fair, credit where it's credit's due, fellas, right? You didn't call it, but he still had to be, you know, as we said, Bath do have superstars all across the pitch. And, you know, Chiefs are a young side, so.
But Chiefs, yeah, let's be honest, like, Roots puts hand up, Fisalau, Restituima, like, the guys have been doing a job all season and were playing very well. So, mate, fair play to them. Really, really good result.
But let's quickly touch back on that Stormers-La Rochelle game. Max Ryan and I had a little word about it and how in a way, did La Rochelle manage to keep themselves in the game? I mean, they were down on the scoreboard by quite a lot, and yet somehow they never seemed to be out. And it's a hell of a difficult place, as Ryan was telling us, to go and to go and win at Stormers.
I think I think it was interesting seeing how Rog just kept the guys he's backed all his time there. He's kept them all on for like 80, wasn't it? I'm pretty sure Antonio played a lot longer than normal. Big Will Skelton had a strong game. Obviously Gregory Aldrich, Carl Urban, Billy Butcher, he dominated. But it was always going to be tight. I mean, the first half, like, La Rochelle didn't look like they were up to much at all. Almost Stormers had to capitalise more on that because you just knew something was going to come at some point. Lebok obviously had a strong game. Felt so bad for him again at the end.
Oh, no, that kick at the end.
Do you know what I mean? That's going to start to haunt
him. But it was almost a repeat of the game in December, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, like, yeah, it's a toughie.
Yeah,
it's
but where
toughie.
Do you boys, you've been in that position. Not you've certainly ever been in the position that he was actually in. But, I mean, you've been in the position where one of your players, you know, you fly half, your fullback, whoever's doing the kicking and hasn't been able to convert right at the death. Is there ever an element of, well, shit, mate, that's, you should have done it. I know it's not the rugby way, but is there that feeling, or is it more never, ever do you feel that it's the kicker's fault?
Nah, you'd never blame the kicker. If anything, you blame whoever scored the try. I can't remember who it was that scored, but they could have worked harder to get a little bit closer. I know they did. Yeah, he came in a bit, but that's the one where they go over for it and they score it in the corner when they could have like ran it in 20 metres in. You know,
so. Mate, a kicker feels it more than any player. Do you know what I mean? So like, when did that happen to me? We played the Tasman Macos with Hawke's Bay Magpies. EI West was our kicker. Missed like 2 or 3 shots would have taken us beyond them in the final. And at the end of it, man, the gut, like, you could just see the emotion on the bloke. But you just get around him. Do you know what I mean? It's done. That's it.
Talking about getting around people, Max. What about Big Willie Skelton? Shielding.
Yeah, it
was like the Blind Side. You've seen that where they crashed the
car?
Yeah,
where he puts his hand to see.
Who was it?
Salman Murad, the captain.
Yeah, but wasn't it Jerry Collins with Colin Chavez?
Was it Anu Maga?
I can't remember. One of the boys put, like, Colin Chavez got absolutely, like, his clock cleaned, and then one of the boys was shielding him and put him in the recovery position. I forgot who it was. I think it might have been Tana. But yeah, that's what that reminded me of. But yeah, that was so cool, wasn't it?
He's like a big giant teddy bear, isn't he? Just looking after people.
What a bloke.
Good man.
But in any case, that wasn't one that you guys called. You really didn't. You definitely didn't.
Marichelle?
Yeah. Did you call it?
I called Larichelle.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I was just still going, you're quite good at this, but Ryan, on the other hand.
Yeah, no. I didn't.
No, it was still murky. Yeah. Sarah's border, for example. Oof.
Just to say, I mean, Larichelle, so that's what, 3 year? Well, they're into their third year. They still haven't lost a knockout game in the Champions Cup. To be fair, their last two knockouts, so the final last year and this round, they were down by 17 and 16 points. Respectively, coming back to win by one. Yeah, it takes more than just a great collection of players, right, to have that mentality. And I think it ironically is quite a sort of that South African way that we saw at the World Cup, where you're not necessarily the best side on the day, maybe, but you just find those ways to win. Boys, how much of that do we put to the Rodge effect, and how much of that do we put the fact that, as you mentioned, Max, it's guys that have been there. They've some of them coming up from Pro De Deux, who've been there for so long at the club.
Yeah, I think it's more that, isn't it? It's an accumulation of experiences. They've been there, done that. They know what it takes. They got the pedigree all over the park. I think when they get into those tight spots, they know what it takes to come out of those gunfights. So I think it's more that than Rod. Obviously, Rod was probably firing rockets into them at halftime because they were dysfunctional, weren't they? My God, they weren't up to much. And then, they got it done. But
on a fucking not perdu.
I do love what Curtis French is laughing at with that accent. It's just brilliant.
They really did it like...
Was it Guinness that he did an advert for? Did you see that one recently?
There was.
It was about perfection or something. And he's in giving a team talk to, I'm pretty sure it was Guinness. But yeah, it is fucking priceless, isn't it? Priceless. Yeah,
we should put the Irish accent against the sort of Wigan, or the Sean Edwards when he does it as well.
They fucking are norm. Oh, man.
Right, let's move on to a result that maybe wasn't surprising, but ultimately, considering where Saracens normally are, that was a big win for Bordeaux at home.
Well, especially the fact that they didn't get any points on the board until, like, what, 60-odd minutes or something. It was...
Man, they could not hold on to the ball, could they? They couldn't get anything going on the breakdown. Like, the counter-rucking from Bordeaux was relentless.
And how good is the atmosphere down there? Like, it was like a football game, wasn't it? Like, you could hear the fans chanting and, like, banging drums.
Have you played there?
Nah, I haven't, no.
Mate, the walk from the changing room to the to the pitch is, like, 20 minutes.
Oh, really?
Mate, walking for ages. Oh, wow. It must be over 100 metres. I was like... Are we there yet? And then, like, when you have to go back to, like, change your boots or something quickly, it is wild. You're like, oh God, it's going to take a while to get back.
Oh, that will stress. Like, Johnny Gray's going there. That will stress him out. That would play with him mentally.
But yeah, the game, is an awesome place, and also the sunsets there in Bordeaux are just glorious. Like, just red and pink skies dripping on the backdrop. And because the stadium's not like a big sort of cavern, it's very much like this art deco, like work of art. You can sort of see it all. It's
I can just imagine Pat in the review, right? And in Gan,
Yeah, and I'm just staring off.
What the fuck are you looking at here? And you're just like, oh, the sunset path.
Look, it's beautiful.
Guys.
With the fucking Gryffindor helmet, just, I can fucking see it here. Just like.
Yeah, with that weird stare on you. Yeah, that gorgeous kind of look. Yeah, mate. Hell of a place.
But yeah, we were saying earlier, Max, there's no way Quinn's go down there and do the job, is there?
No, but yeah, it's getting, yeah, that back three, oh, good God, Bibavir, and Penno is pretty much Teflon right now. He's probably the best winger in the world. Are we saying that? Can we say that?
Seems to have just...
Keeps adding stuff to his game, doesn't he? Keeps doing weird things, appears in strange places. It's like, it's odd. He's unbelievable. A lot bigger than he looks, really good deft body control. He's just a magician, man. He's an absolute class act. And they didn't struggle without Jelly Baby. Like, Jelly Bear wasn't even there, and they got it done, man. Obviously, Ben, the Planet Tamafuna, strong game as always.
Wait, did you play against him?
No. I had they kept him in the stables. I had the Saffa. He was also a remarkably large gentleman, but
I played against Big Ben against Racing, and we actually player cammed him. You know, like when you're doing your reviews and stuff like that, and he didn't leave. Like, he stayed within like a 10-meter radius of the centre spot, while the kicking game's going on, and like loads of the play, he's just sort of stood there in the middle, just waiting for the next scrum.
Can you imagine being that, like, because he's not the tallest man, but he's like one of the heaviest men in rugby right now.
Yeah.
It must be. That's like me running around with like 40 kilo plates on, like 220 kilo plates. That's nutty, mate. Unbelievable athlete. Like, and Bordeaux, just class everywhere.
I'm pretty sure the Tongans, they did some Popple Leafs trading when I went there as well. Like all the. He brought over a load of purple leaves for, I don't know where he'd gotten from, but he came to our hotel with it all for some of the Tongan boys that were injured. the old magic leaves, and he came in with
just
it.
Just wrapping up.
Yeah, boys. Night before a game, offering purple leaves to some of the fellas. But he's a nice bloke. He is a lovely bloke, Big Ben Tamafuna. But you're right, Max.
Maxime Luku looks... lads. I was thinking he really looked like someone. I was trying to figure it out. I was like, who is this?
Jason Statham.
If he had a beard, my God, he had some double.
Right. Here we fucking go.
Right. Yeah.
Let's go.
What the fuck is that? Yeah. Yeah, I couldn't believe him. He looks so much like Jason Statham.
Yeah, he does.
Unbelievable.
Right, next game. Come on, fucking let's go.
Probably. Drop that little hit. Right. There was Northampton versus Munster. Northampton continuing their form. It's hard to compete both in the Prem and the Champions Cup, but you know, it seems that the squad that they've got, there aren't that many weaknesses. But there were some good play all around. Although, can I just let's start with something I wanted to talk about the winning try, and George Hendy, who's not, I think he was playing in the Championship with you last season. And did you
see? No, he's around. He was around last season.
Was
he? Mate, he's a big goose. He can rumble. Yeah, mate, he was class. Wasn't he?
That was
hell of a finish. You can see Crowley and Zeebo are thinking he's going to come back inside. And he's like, nah, I fancy it. There's enough real estate for me to get down there. And he goes for it. Fair play to him. Hell of a finish.
Some great shots. You just see people, like, when the camera's looking down, you just see him coming to school to try, and just people, like, lying on the floor behind him, just, like, in his wake.
Just trailing, and then, obviously, finished that slight home break from the 22. That was tasty as well. Very Saints-esque.
They're serious contenders, eh, Northampton?
100%. I thought the pack was brilliant. Like, Langdon obviously having a strong game. Manny Ayogan, big scrummaging game against Stephen Archer. Mate, obviously Courtney Laws doing bits. Sammy Graham's been class for them all year.
I was gutted to see Munster lose.
They brought a lot of injuries, though. They're missing a few men, aren't they?
I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. But yeah, I thought, Saints just looked very, very good. It was tight for a while as well, and then they just came through it in the end. Pressure kind of pressure kind of told them. And then Hendy came on.
You say that they you put them as, you know, they're up there with potentials for winning it. But, you know, how you look at can you see them beating La Rochelle or Bordeaux?
Oh man, anything's possible once you get into that last bit. I reckon everyone's good. Everyone's on it. You've earned your place. Do you know what I mean? You've been through the gauntlet. There's as long as people are fit, and I think anything's possible in Europe.
But the three big French teams that you look at: Toulouse, La Rochelle, and Bordeaux. That you think between those three, they've got some.
That's the difference.
Pretty good representation in there. It's fucking scary, the teams that they can put out. So,
but just so you know, you're aware. So Northampton will be hosting the Bulls, but then the other quarterfinal is Leinster La Rochelle. So they are taking on. You know, that semi final is a tough one, regardless. It's Leinster, La Rochelle in the quarterfinals, but they will play each other in the semi. Northampton Saints will, so they'll play each other in the semifinals. Whereas the other half is Toulouse versus Exeter in the quarters, and then Bordeaux-Bègles, against Harlequins. But those guys will face off. The winners of those rounds will face off. Quick word on actually Toulouse beating Racing. Did you see they cut out the actual transmission? I think the broadcast cut out, probably because they're getting harmed. It's probably like a Racing director.
Yeah, I did see that. That was sad. And we had like Sam and Lowell talking about everything, but I don't know. It wasn't the best game to watch, was it?
No.
You enjoy that? I didn't enjoy it so much. I thought it would be a little bit more razzly, but
good to see Blair Kinghorn kicking.
Blair Kinghorn, yeah, DuPont played pretty well as always.
And Tamac back as well. That's good if you're of a French disposition. Good to see him. Good to see him. Good to see him back. But ultimately, that Toulouse side, do we think they are the side to beat?
Toulouse?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think they can come unstuck. I think they're beatable. I think Bordeaux potentially are the team to beat in terms of how they're playing. The firepower they got in the back line, as long as that pack can sort of get them reliably, like, go for a ball, but for the most part, I think Bordeaux might be the team.
I always make the mistake of going and looking at like the top 14, but it's just completely different. Like all that goes out the window. Yeah. Bordeaux sixth at the moment, La Rochelle fifth. The top of the top 14 is actually Stade Francais.
And you watch them in the pool stages; they were not very good.
Exactly.
It's so
awful. You look at that and you think, how is that? Even like with Lyon down in 12th at the moment, but between those three French teams, they've got something in there. I think they can do the job.
All right, fabulous. I think we've kind of gone through it. And then there was you both did call the Leinster-Leicester. The Leicester did look all right, to be fair, in that.
I thought it was going to be an absolute blowout with that that mental hat trick in like, what was it, 20 minutes or something? Yeah, clean off. Gibson Park, just all over the gaff. Leicester still gave a decent account of themselves, but that was always sort of going to be the way, wasn't it? Leinster just on flames.
Yeah.
And then the Bulls absolutely hammering Lyon. We you guys did call that one very, very clearly.
Yes, we did.
All right.
Very wise.
Mystic Meg, just take it easy. Like, they would, as you said, Lyon have a lot of big players, you know, sucking straws up in the altitude. So, you know, they're, and the Bulls have quite a lot of Springboks, don't they, in their back line. So, yes. Okay. With that in mind, fellas, let's call out the quarterfinals. Where do we think?
Here we bloody go.
First things first, we've got Toulouse, Exeter Chiefs in Toulouse.
Toulouse.
Easy, Toulouse.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
No doubt in my mind.
There's a lot of no doubt in your mind last week, mate.
No, the last week was, there was some tough games to be played last week. This one is more distinctly advantageous to
come on.
Okay, fair enough. You guys are the experts, Max. And Bordeaux Bègles, Harlequins in Bordeaux. You've both sort of said it, but...
Peace, Bordeaux.
Well, it's to all our Harlequins fans who are listening. I'm sorry for that.
Anything can happen.
They shouldn't be there anyway.
And then we've got Leinster La Rochelle.
At the Aviva.
At the Aviva. I assume, well, in Ireland, yeah.
Oh.
So they beat them. Leinster went there and beat them, didn't they? In the groups.
Oh, that is tough.
In the groups, wasn't it during our buddy's, wasn't it during his sabbatical?
I don't know, but I'm going La Rochelle. Boys.
Are you? Yeah. Ooh. I hear the Leinster wheels have become gunky. I'll go La Rochelle as well. Let's go.
No, we haven't.
And Saints hosting the Bulls.
Saints.
That is going to be I think that's a really tough game. That's tight. Where's Saints are hosting?
At home, yeah. At the Saints.
Oh, mate, that was. I'm gonna go Bulls.
Really?
Yeah, playing them is, yeah, it was. We might have been really off that day, to be fair, but they were horrible. I reckon that they felt, yeah, they were mustard. If they're on, they could have some problems.
I love that you guys have had you've had nibbles with all of these, with the big guys, with Bordeaux, with the Bulls. Yeah. You're like, oh.
Bulls was just like, oh, God. Oh, here we go, into the crucible, every collision.
too good. Well, look, I think it's probably fair play to let Ryan, who looks just dreadful. I mean, well, honestly, Max, the video call.
I do look alright, don't I?
He's had four Baroccas. They say do one. I think he's like pissing uranium.
I've done a fair few. Have you ever been to Hong Kong, Max?
No, sadly, no. My brother lives there.
Does he?
Yeah, so shall I connect you?
Was he at the 7 yesterday?
No, I don't think so.
I've met up with Mark's brother. I might as well meet up with your brother.
Max, find out if he wants to go out on Gareth's boat tomorrow. He's taking Ryan out. Get him out on the boat. They could do some content. Give him a shout. Give him a shout. How funny if Wills did like a bizarre like doppelganger Mall or Nothing. I mean, they don't really look like us, but
that'd be so good.
It's so funny, and I'm here with Edwards and Lee.
Oh, Max, it's been hard work, but I'm looking forward to a good night's kip and then back on the horse tomorrow.
Woof.
And as per always, just want to take this opportunity to say a big thank you to the legends that are our sponsors, Wolf Craig Distillers. I caught up with Greg Laidlaw. He's been out here in Hong Kong doing some stuff. He's obviously over in Japan at the moment with NTT, so he came over to do some stuff. But another good Wolf Craig ambassador here representing us Scots at the Seven. So it was good to see him. But if you want to head over to the website, which is...
Wolfcraig.com.
You can grab yourself a beautiful bottle of whiskey or one of their wonderful gins. So jump over there and make sure you give them a little follow and a like.
Sadly, that is all the time we've got left for this week. Huge thank you to Ryan for staying up till 1 a.m. in Hong Kong. Thank you to Max for...
Cheers, Ryan. I'm sorry. Tardiness.
Thank you for coming.
My incredible tardiness. My profound tardiness.
Unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
Also, Max, to be fair, we gave all of the dates and timings. I'm in France skiing. Ryan is in Hong Kong. We gave only the times in the UK. Those were the only times we gave.
And so my bet was, he will turn up 1 hour late and just log in and be like, oh, I thought it was 5. That's what I thought was going to happen until you phoned me and basically forgotten to even come on.
Wait, sorry. But Why did I think it was tomorrow?
I forgot. Mate, it's, hey, to be fair to you, it's tomorrow for me. I'm in tomorrow. Yeah. I am in tomorrow. You're behind me. It's Tuesday, yeah? You're on Monday. Yeah. That's fucking, it's weird, hey? That's weird, hey, how that works. It's Tuesday here. Isn't that weird?
How's Tuesday in Hong Kong, mate? Is it all right?
It's all right. It's not too bad. Max, I've just been for a lovely bit of dinner as well. Oh, you
would. What'd you have?
Go and check out on the gram. I had some spicy pork wontons, some dumplings, these little handmade dumplings. Oh my God, they were incredible. Pork and something bao bun, like steamed dumpling, like a bao bun type thing.
Like a char siu.
Oh my God, it was ridiculous.
What was it called, the place?
It was called, your brother actually recommended it. Hold on.
No, Gareth recommended it, did he?
Yeah, and me and Bart tried to go there the other day. It was called Din Tai Fung.
Din Tai Fung, mate. Din Tai Fung. It's a Taiwanese. It's awesome. They've got one in Covent Garden. They've opened a new one, mate. So do you want to know an interesting fact about that tiny little dumpling where when it explodes and the sauce explodes in your mouth? Not that that's the point. Let's fast forward from that. 6 months. So I've back in an old job doing a travel show. We went and filmed the headquarters there, and they spend each person who works at Din Tai Fung in the restaurant spend 6 months just doing the folds. I think there were 38 folds per individual. Individual.
You don't want to be that guy,
mate.
They don't just give you a menu. They bring out a little sheet, and it's how to eat them. And so you pick it up, and they say taste it before you mix it. They give you a little ginger, some vinegar, soy sauce, and you make up your little. But they say put it on your spoon, pierce it so the sauce comes out of it, and then taste it, and then you add to it. Oh, mate, they were so good.
I'm so hungry now,
mate. Xiaolongbao, they are the bomb. They are the bomb. But wait, hey mate, take some photos though, right, tomorrow from the seafood place. It's awesome, and the lad who runs it really, really nice. So, have a great day. Have a great day with our brothers potentially, Wills. Thank you to everyone for listening, and we will see you all next week.
Love you, boys. Peace.
Bye, guys.
More or nothing.